You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, into hour three of C2C on a Monday. So what did you think of the kid, Gunnar Stockton, who came in for back? He almost blew the game. He almost threw the game away with that late pick. But their defense got it done. And once again, Kirby wins a big game. That's twice they beat Texas. So I don't know what everyone's thinking about Texas, why they think they're winning it. They can't beat Georgia. So how are they going to win the whole thing? They're not.
Yeah, and they couldn't beat Georgia on Saturday, even with Carson Beck getting hurt fairly early in that game. We'll talk about his availability in a little bit. But Gunnar Stockton came in. I thought he played pretty well. Like, I think he's a young kid, obviously. He's a sophomore. He hasn't played much. He's got a lot of juice, but he's also scary. Like you said, he threw that pick at the end that allowed Texas to come down and send the game into overtime. But I think it could be interesting if he's going to be the guy for Georgia. Now, they got a lot of time before they're going to play again. But here's how this ended in overtime coming up here. So they go to OT, tied at 16. Texas kicks a field goal to go up three. Georgia's got the rock next, and they put this game away. Bulldogs radio for you.
Back ETN, the tailback. Back under center. Hand it to ETN, straight ahead, touchdown, touchdown, Dogs are SEC champions, Dogs have won it.
They always do, right? So I thought the defense was the difference. So they, you know, give up the ball, so their defense stops Texas, force the field goal, kid makes it, nails it, they go to overtime, the defense again holds them to a field goal, and then they're able to run it in and stuff it down their throat and win it all. So, I mean, they just know how to win big games. That's all there is to it. And I thought the kid played all right. I mean, let's not get carried away. He threw a pick, a big pick. He didn't throw any tutties. He threw for like 71 yards, but he didn't really screw it up. And then Beck came in to hand that ball off to ATN, and he's all banged up. I don't think that guy's playing anytime soon. I was surprised he was able to go on the field and make the play, to be honest. It looked like his, you know, arm was hanging off. His, you know, his shoulder was so messed up. He looked like he was in agony. I couldn't even believe he came in the game and made the play.
Yes, that was very surprising when that happened. But Kirby, I do have Kirby for you in a moment after we look at the bracket, talking about what his plans may be, and they do have some time before they do get back out. Arizona State, 45-19, crushed Iowa State as they win the Big 12, picked to finish last, first year in the conference. Hell of a job by Kenny Dillingham and the crew as they take it to Campbell and Iowa State. 11-2, they got a bye, deservingly so, if they're out of the conference champions, and that's something we'll talk about in a minute. I think they need to get rid of the byes. Automatic buys for these conference champions because it does make the bracket, I think, a little bit weird having Arizona State and Boise with buys and teams like Texas, Notre Dame, etc., not having buys.
Well, it is what it is, and you just have to deal with it. I thought Scadaboo was unbelievable. 170 yards, a 10-yard average, 10.6, two tutties. He had a 53-yarder. I mean, the guy was breaking tackles like he was O.J. Simpson. I mean, it was unbelievable watching that kid play. He literally carried them on his back the whole day. I couldn't believe how bad Iowa State actually looked in that game. It was all Arizona State, and I thought that Iowa State was better. I thought they had a better secondary, better special teams, better punter, kicker, returner. Their top receiver was out of the game, Arizona State. The number one targeted player on the team. They throw to him all the time, and he didn't play. And then this kid says, screw it, I'll win it anyway, and they blow him out. This team's unbelievable. I didn't see it coming. I was rooting for him, but I bet on Iowa State, and I got burned. That was the game I got burned on Saturday. And I thought they were really disappointing. I'm sure Campbell was disappointed in them too.
I'm sure he was. And, you know, Arizona State's fun. And I they're in the part of the bracket. They'll play the winner of the Texas-Clemson game in the quarterfinals. I got to tell you, that's probably going to be some enormous number. Let's say it's Texas. Texas against Arizona State. That's going to be double digits. I'll be on Arizona State in that game if we get down the line to that. Because look at Texas don't cover those numbers either. You look, even all year, coming down the stretch, Texas wasn't covering big numbers. That Arizona State team's got some – they got some stones, man. I like them a lot, especially that head coach. I don't think they're going to win the whole thing, but I think they'd give Texas a run if Texas beats Clemson.
Wouldn't it be great if they beat Texas? Texas, I think, would beat Clemson. And then I would love to see Arizona State knock them off, seriously.
That would be fun if we could get that. That would be great if Arizona State could do that for everybody. Boise beat UNLV. This was Friday night, 21-7. Right. UNLV basically gave the game away in the whole first half. They played so scared. They couldn't tackle. They made mistakes. They didn't want anything to do with the game, and that's why they lost. And then Boise just ran the ball down their throat the whole second half, and they were finished after that. And I had to add this in because we liked this game so much, and that was Army up in West Point on Friday night, giving Tulane the business up there. You could Tulane wanted nothing to do with that game, just like UNLV on the blue turf. Tulane wanted nothing to do with being up there in upstate New York against Army.
We hit both of those games. I thought Army played great. I mean, dark, cold, along the river. They had no chance leaving their warm, you know, New Orleans confines. They got beat by Memphis. I didn't think they deserved to be in that game, to be honest with you. I thought Memphis deserved it. I get how it works. So they went up there and they laid an egg, and Army kicked their ass. I think Army will beat Navy. And, you know, we bet on Boise as well, and they covered. They handled UNLV on the blue carpet. So it was a good Friday. It was a good Saturday, other than Iowa State. We even hit Marshall with the spread.
And that's who Army's actually going to play after Navy in the bowl game. Army's going to play Marshall in the Independence Bowl. That's on December the 28th. I'm already seeing Army laying 9. I know we're going to do this tomorrow in that extra hour and go through all these bowl games, but Army laying 9 to Marshall in that game. Marshall, they kicked that team's ass on Saturday night, Louisiana. They beat them up.
At their place, 31-3 at Cajun Field. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I thought it'd be close, and I took the points, and I hit. But I didn't expect them to, you know, shred them 31-3. You got to be kidding me. Same thing with Ohio. Did you see what they did to Miami of Ohio?
Yes, they did. And did you see that Marshall chopped the coach? Like, they didn't bring the coach back either after he destroyed Louisiana in that game? This dude, Charles Huff, who was the head coach at Marshall, his contract was up. They said, no, we're out. You're out as the head coach. They chopped him. And he went and took the job at Southern Miss. So that's just amazing.
Well, he did a good job.
They thought he did a good job, too. But they let go of him. They went 10-3. They won the conference.
I know, it's crazy.
Expect more at Marshall. Thinking?
They must not
good
have
for Southern
along.
Miss. Southern, that, you know what? That's the thing. When something like this happens, there's something behind the scenes that you never know about, and maybe you never find out about it, but really stupid. And now he's Southern Miss's head coach.
You're probably right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, we we've been looking at the bracket for the playoff, and it's exciting. The games are going to be awesome. Any way you slice it, even if your team didn't get in, you're still going to enjoy it. You want to show it again exactly how it's going to play out, Carver High?
Yeah, before we hear from a few of these coaches that are in the bracket, of course, let me give you one last look at this here. Of course, Notre Dame and Indiana, winner will play Georgia. Penn State, SMU, winner will play Boise State. Ohio State, Tennessee, winner will play Oregon. Texas, Clemson, winner will play Arizona State. Now remember, those first round games, those four games, those are at campus sites. Those second round games and beyond, neutral site, bowl games is where those will be. I will tell you that as we move along throughout the process. I know Georgia's at the Sugar Bowl, Oregon is at the Rose Bowl, etc. So that is how the entire tree shakes out. Let's hear from a few of these guys. First, the one me and you are really going to be waiting for next Friday night in South Bend, the Irish and the Hoosiers. That's right. And I have to look this up. When was the last time they played each other? Have they ever met? And they have to have played, right? Indiana Notre Dame has to have played at some point in college football. I'm going to look it up.
I don't remember that.
I'm going to look it up while Marcus talks. So here he is. Now, you remember the infamous Cignetti line, right, from when he got hired? I win. Go Google me. We played it right here. We know it well. Marcus Freeman referencing that as he talks about how good this Indiana team is.
The coach has done a wonderful job to take this program to win 11 games in the Big Ten and in a Big Ten season, and to, you know, have this team ready to make a run in the playoffs. I mean, it's a credit to the coach. I didn't know much about him. I took a minute and Googled him and looked at some of the things he's done in the past at his other places. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. So he's done a great job. We expect a great opponent. I've just briefly started looking at them. They're a talented team.
I think Notre Dame is better than Indiana. I think they're at home. I think it's going to be a hostile environment. I like the kid Rourke. I think they have the better quarterback. I think that Indiana can score. I think they're going to give Notre Dame a run for their money. They might very well cover. If they beat Notre Dame, I'll keel over. I really will. I don't think they've ever faced anything this big ever this season at all. Like, you know, the Ohio State game in Columbus is a lot like it. Going to Notre Dame Stadium to play the Irish, I mean, it's just brutal. So, and especially in a playoff setting, I don't think it's going to be easy. But I think the kid Rourke is good, man. He can give them problems. Believe me, you. Notre Dame's got a great defense. We'll see if they can shut this guy down.
Now, Notre Dame, in their history, they are 23-5-1 against Indiana. But listen to this. They've only played once since 1958. They played in 1991 in South Bend. Irish beat them 49-27 during the Lou Holtz years. But all these other meetings, they played basically every year in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, Irish and the Hoosiers. So no recent
history. That doesn't count. The pros when we say, you know, Cleveland, Detroit in the, you know, 50s. That doesn't count. You know, we're 60s and above here.
No, that's it. So really they've only played once. 91 in South Bend. That was the only time the Irish and Indiana have ever faced off. So this should be fun for Cignetti and Marcus Freeman. And huge for both of them in this game. Getting a chance to win a playoff game next Friday night. We're going to have a lot of fun with that here on C2C. All right, we just talked about Georgia and quarterback Carson Beck. Here is the update that just came down a few minutes ago from the school. Beck suffered an elbow injury during Saturday's game. Him and his family are exploring treatment options, and there is no current timetable on his return. That speaking Portuguese, or translating the Portuguese, Scotty, means Carson and his family didn't like what the school doctors told him about his elbow, and they're going to get some second and third opinions about his elbow, is what that sounds like to me.
They got problems. I mean, he's not going to play. I don't think the kid's really built for big, giant playoff games. I really don't. I think they're going to lose because of it. I think, you know, having this guy go down and what they're left with And their backup beyond that, nobody even knows who that is. So I think Georgia's got problems. This might benefit Indiana and Notre Dame. Whoever gets to play them, all you have to do is get to that kid and rattle him. You know, he throws picks. We've already seen it. And then if they hit him a few times, he could be in big trouble. Georgia's loaded. But I don't, you know, what's the difference if they have all this talent on offense if the kid can't get him the ball? I think their defense is the key for Georgia staying in this playoff. I don't like their situation at quarterback at all. They got a problem.
And here's Kirby yesterday talking about that problem. He probably knew yesterday what we know now about Carson Beck.
I certainly think, I mean, there's no good script, right, for losing a quarterback or having to go to your backup. There's not a great script for it. It certainly wasn't a great script last night to have to do it against the number one team in the country on defense. And have to do that at halftime was tough. But this situation does give you time if that's what has to happen. I mean, there is time there. But, I mean, experience is so valuable. And you can't really get experience in this amount of time. I wish he'd gotten more game experience up to this point in time. There's not a lot we can do about that right now. So we're just waiting to find out more information.
Yeah, they're screwed. They're screwed.
He's right about that, because when you think about it, you're throwing the kid into his, you know, first start ever in a national quarterfinal game in the Sugar Bowl against, you know, either Notre Dame or Indiana. You know, that is a huge spot for that kid, and their defense is damn good. But you know, Notre Dame and Indiana both got front lines that can get after the quarterback as well. You know, they can hit the quarterback and cause problems. So. Something to look forward to, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the kid's in trouble. I really do. Yeah. I don't think he's going to get any better than what we saw the other night. I mean, he might get 100 yards or something like that. I don't think he's going to go off and have some spectacular game. I think advantage Indiana and Notre Dame over Georgia.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what is Josh Heupel saying about that big game? They got to go to Columbus and play the Buckeyes.
Of course, the game in the first round that probably has the two biggest brands facing off against each other, Tennessee and Ohio State. Josh Heupel and the Vols will have to take a trip to Columbus. Night game in late December. Not ideal, but Heupel says the Vols will be ready for it.
You know, not sure what the temperature will be up there at night. I know it won't be sunny and 85. We played in 30-degree weather a week ago. For us, a lot of our practices are in the morning. We're outside. It'll be, similar temperatures to what you're going to get up there. Our guys got to be able to handle anything that comes at them. That's, weather, it's outside distractions. It's, us getting ready to go be our best 11-on-11 between the white lines. And we'll be ready to handle that and operate at a high level.
You know, after I watched Ohio State Coif against Michigan in Columbus, they looked good against Indiana in Columbus, but against Michigan, they looked awful. Tennessee's a really good team. They can play with Ohio State in Columbus. I think they got a shot to win that game. I really do. I'm not afraid of Ohio State like, most people think you should be. We've already seen them lose games. They lost to Oregon. They screwed that up. They should have, perhaps won that game, but they didn't manage the end of the game right in the clock. Then you saw them lay an egg against Michigan. The only game they really played well against, I thought, was Penn State and Indiana. So I think Tennessee's going to give them a run for their money.
I think Tennessee will absolutely give them a run for their money. I think they can win the game outright, and I'll show you in a moment what the number is. I like that number a lot. Last one I'll give you today is Sark. I'll give you a few more tomorrow, coaches, that is, when we do that preview of all the bowl games and some of the college football playoff games. Here's Sarkisian, very excited to be part of this first 12-team college football playoff. Very exciting.
we're the 5 seed and we get to play a 12 seed in a team like Clemson, a team who's been a perennial college football playoff team. I think Coach Sweeney's done a fantastic job at Clemson. You don't win two national titles over a 17-year period, multiple appearances in the CFP, numerous ACC conference championships. So they've got a championship program. And the fact that we've never played them, that Texas has never played Clemson in football, the first time will be in the inaugural 12-team college football playoff right here at DKR, I think is very exciting.
I think they're better. I really do. I think Texas is better. I think they'll win that game, and then they're going to have their hands full after that. I think that next game will be their true test, but I think they'll handle Clemson. Clemson's lucky they're in this.
No doubt. Clemson is lucky that they're in this. That's pretty amazing. First time they've ever played. Clemson and Texas will be in this matchup in the college, because they've been around two big names in college football that have never faced each other before. That's pretty strange. Here's the numbers for the four first round games that we will have. As of right now, Notre Dame -7.5 against Indiana, 10.5 for Texas against Clemson. You've got 8.5 right now for Penn State, up to 9. I'm seeing 9 where I'm at. 9.5 for them. And then you have Ohio State 7.5 against Tennessee, the first round of the college football playoff.
I mean, those are some big spreads. I mean, honestly.
Those are Indiana, no close ones.
I mean, honestly, Indiana, I think, can score with Notre Dame. They can score with anybody. I think Texas will win that game. That's a giant number, though. And the question is, I think Penn State will beat SMU. I really do. They can beat teams that are good, not great. And then look at that 7.5 with the Vols. I'd be interested in that right at this point. I want to see if that number changes.
That's very juicy, that 7.5 with the Vols. Because the Vols are a very physical, tough defense. And I've seen this kid Howard get pushed around by Michigan. And he had all kinds of problems. So I think that Tennessee's going to be able to handle, like Heupel was just talking about, going into Columbus. I think that that's our chance for maybe an outright upset out of there. But Indiana is going to, you know, if Rourke is taking them up and down the field, I don't know if Riley Leonard and the, you know, could go blow for blow with that. I think the Irish need to play a low-scoring, great defensive game, run the football, and kind of drag Indiana down like Ohio State did. And even like Michigan did, even though they didn't beat them. They got to play a game like that against Indiana to win.
Indiana can run the ball, too. They're good at that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So who's the most bet in this playoff already, like out of the gates?
Well, in terms of the most bet tickets on teams to win, Ohio State has 12.6% of the tickets to win the national championship, the college football playoff. Texas 10.7%, then Georgia, then Oregon. A bunch of teams, you see the red X's, they gone. Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, Colorado, LSU. Notre Dame's got about 6%. Indiana 3.1, Penn State 3, in terms of the amount of tickets to win it all.
I can't believe Oregon is at 7.8%, to be honest with you. I mean, they can beat anybody, and they're good. They're loaded. They're fast. They score. Great quarterback. They do it all, and then no one respects them. But everyone's on Ohio State. They can't even beat Michigan, and then they're going to win it all. I don't think so. I just don't have any faith in them at all. I can't believe people aren't on the Ducks. Seriously.
Yeah. People love the Buckeyes. Love the Buckeyes.
Not me.
That's for sure. Not me either. I don't love them as well. We'll do all the bowl games tomorrow. I did want to tell you that Miami is going to Orlando to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Pop-Tarts Bowl against Iowa State, who got throttled by Arizona State on Saturday. So Miami and the Cyclones in Orlando on December the 28th.
I think Miami can beat them. I think, you know, obviously the key is if Ward's going to play or not. He's going to be drafted in the, you know, early first round, so he probably won't play, which ruins the game as far as I'm concerned for the Canes. But I thought Iowa State looked so terrible against Arizona State. How could you bet on them? Seriously.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's in one of those bowl games, and you're going to get this in a lot of them, where you're going to have to wait to make you see who's playing in the game to really get a good grasp on what's going to go on. I think Gabe made the point to you earlier about Alabama. It's the same thing. Like, I don't know if I believe everyone's going to show up for Alabama in that mean-nothing bowl game against Michigan. I'm just not so sure about that. So we'll take a look at all the bowl games tomorrow on Coast to Coast with that extra hour. All right, I want to get to the hoops, but I will break in with this first because Cashman spoke in Dallas just a little while ago, about 20, 30 minutes ago, for the first time since losing Soto to the Mets. And I know how much me and you love Brian Cashman, so I figured I'd let you know what he had to say. He said that the Yankees went, quote, "went above and beyond our comfort level in bidding for Soto." He congratulated the Mets, said of the Yankees' offseason plans, quote, "there's a lot of different ways to figure this out." Cashman also said the Yankees have plenty to do and will be aggressive this offseason, but, quote, "we're not going to be drunken sailors," end quote. I guess they're not just going to go and throw money all over the place since they lost Soto. So there's your first Brian Cashman response.
They always spend money. That's all there is to it. They're going to have to. That's all there is to it. They have to go get arms. They got to get players. They can't do nothing. They lost Soto. What, are they going to stand around and be idle, not get involved? I don't buy that for 1 minute. You know he's going to end up buying players. That's all there is to it.
We shall see. I don't trust any of them as far as I can throw them. So I don't trust any of those guys that run the Yankee organization, especially now. They don't even have Soto anymore. All right, how about some NBA for you here? A few things from the weekend. The Lakers beat Portland last night. LeBron missed his first game of the year. I know we thought he'd play all 82, but not this year, Scotty. He sat and they didn't need him because they were playing the Blazers. So unfortunate for LeBron. He's not going to play all 82 games.
Stop the press. He didn't play. Imagine that.
Didn't play. Had to sit one out finally. They did win as they got themselves a big night for AD. He had a 30-point double-double in the game, which helped get them by. The Warriors played the Timberwolves twice this weekend, both times in Golden State. They lost to them on Friday night, the Warriors, but then they got Minnesota back last night with a 114-106 win. So they split the games with Minnesota hanging around in town. The Magic beat the Suns. Now, the Magic just continue to pile up injuries, Scotty. Didn't they lose Wagner over the weekend also? So they're without Banchero, and now they lose Franz Wagner too. So he's going to be out for a little bit of time, but they still win. They keep winning.
Yeah, they won't be winning without him. I'll tell you that much, because he did all the scoring. He was their number one guy after Banchero went down. He dominated for them, and now they lose him? They'll have no one scoring at this point. I guess Suggs
would have to be the guy. Remember, I'm going to give you the numbers. They're playing the Bucks in that NBA Cup quarter tomorrow night, the Magic. They'll be doing it very shorthanded. Not good at all. The Heat beat the Cavs at home, so the Cavs fall to 21-4. Hero had 34 for the Heat in that game. Big night for him. You also had last night the Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. They continue to play much better ball. Saturday, Joker scored a career-high 56 points, but they lost to the Wizards. Wizards in Washington. What is happening? The Nuggets are 11-10. Joker has these monster games every single night, and they're only 11-10, and they're losing games to the Wizards. What the hell's going on out there?
And the Wizards, they didn't win a game in November, but they beat the Nuggets. He has 56, but when you lose, it doesn't matter. And then what? He turned around and had 48. Like, the guy's just going off. Yeah. Every
Amazing.
Night, this guy goes off.
Every single night, he has been doing that. All right, I have also for you tonight's games. And believe it or not, there's only one game tonight. What is that about? I mean, one game in the NBA this evening? That's it? One game? And it's the Knicks who are in Toronto to see the Raptors. So the Knicks right now -7.5, 231.5 is the total.
Well, I think the Knicks are better than the Raptors. We know they cover a lot, the Raptors, but I'm going to go with the Knicks here tonight in Toronto. I think they score too much for the Raptors.
They do score too much for the Raptors. I know Cat was a game-time decision, but I think he's going to be in there based on the fact that the line is now shot out to 7.5 for them on their own. Toronto does cover a lot, but the Knicks do score a little bit too much. All right, next two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday, is this NBA Cup. So we will have the quarterfinals the next couple of days. I wanted to give you some of the numbers here early on. We will dive into these games a little bit further, of course, tomorrow and the next day. The Magic, as we mentioned, very shorthanded, are going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow night. That is now up to 7.5 for the Bucks. We have the Mavs and the Thunder tomorrow night as well. OKC -4.5. Wednesday night, Knicks, Hawks, Warriors, Rockets, the eight teams left for the NBA Cup.
Well, if there's no Franz Wagner, I like the Bucks, and in a big game, I like Dallas, and I think the Knicks, it might be too many points against Ice Trey and the Hawks. They've been playing great basketball. That game, I think, will be closer than 7.5, believe it or not, and the Rockets and Dubs. I think I could lay the 2.5 there and go high risk with the young Rockets, but I think they're really exciting, and I think they can go with the Warriors.
I think they could go with the Warriors as well, and it's always dangerous when Trey comes into the Garden. Always dangerous. And the Hawks are playing great ball. Well, why the Knicks got to play tonight? You know, they try to balance that out so these teams always have the same amount of rest. Then why the hell are the Knicks playing tonight against the Raptors when they have that game on Wednesday with the Hawks? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but NBA does what the NBA does. All right, we'll come back, and I will get everything else to you. We have hockey tonight. We have one college basketball game of note, which includes the Indiana Hoosiers, and I have some things from the weekend in college basketball that we have to get to as well.
The Gophers tonight at Assembly Hall.
Gophers at Assembly Hall. Give you the numbers when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves hockey. You got a little action tonight around the rinks, a few games.
I do. I have a couple of things first before I get there. Some add-on things that I like to do. Number one, I saw the Penguins beat the Leafs Saturday night. Nice win by the Penguins. That was after losing to the Rangers on Friday night, but still, that's always a nice win when you could beat the Leafs at home at the PPG.
The go-ahead goal, and yes. Then they had two empty netters.
And the Islanders actually won both Saturday and Sunday against Carolina and Ottawa, so... despite the sky burning by the horse track, they were able to win a couple games this past weekend, which is always nice to see. I did have a trade for you today in the NHL. As the Avalanche continue to try to improve their goaltending, they are going to try to do that now with Mackenzie Blackwood. That's right. Mackenzie Blackwood goes from the Sharks to the Avalanche. They'll send Gorgiev back to San Jose the other way. A couple of other picks and forwards. Avs are going to retain some of the salary. So Mackenzie Blackwood is going to solve all of Colorado's goaltending issues, allegedly.
God bless
and good luck. Former Devil. Didn't last long in San Jose. Now finds himself in Colorado with the Avs. Probably a better push. Shut the Devils out 4-0 yesterday as well. So they go and do that. All right. Red Wings are in Buffalo tonight against the Sabres. Sabres have had all kinds of problems, too, but they're favored tonight against the Red Wings. -125, +105 for the Wings. 6.5 the total here.
Am I supposed to trust this Buffalo team the way they've struggled?
No.
I'll go with Detroit.
No. There's just no way. How could you play this? How are the Sabres favored tonight? They've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row. How are they favored? in this game.
Remember the game they were up 4-0, they lost to the ass.
Yeah, that's tough. It's a tough ask to be on the Sabres tonight. The Blackhawks are at the Garden. The Rangers have had all kinds of problems, too. You take that Penguin game out on Friday night. They got whacked by Seattle last night at the Garden. When they give up a touchdown? I think they gave up 7 goals to the Kraken last night. -250 for the Rangers. It's a heavy number. +210 for the Blackhawks and a 5.5.
Yeah, how do you lay a goal and a half with the Rangers when they can't win right now and they don't score? And the problem is the Blackhawks stink. I want no part of this game. That spread is brutal. That line is brutal. And I'm not laying a goal and a half. So I guess the only thing I would do in this thing is take the over. I think they'll score a few goals on Chicago. They scored 5 yesterday. There were 12 goals in that game.
A lot of goals in the Kraken Ranger game. And finally, the Ducks fly east. They are in Montreal against the Canadiens tonight. Canadiens -150 at home, +130 for the Ducks now. This total also 5.5.
Yeah, I think the Canadiens will win that one. I'm willing to go there at $1.46. Not much more than that, though. So I think they'll handle their business at the Bell Center.
There you go. Only 3 games tonight. We do have a full night tomorrow, including I did see that Colorado stopping at Pittsburgh tomorrow on their East Coast trip. So not a bad game at the PPG for you there. All right, college rack from the weekend. There was a few games I wanted to highlight with you. First on Saturday, number 5 Marquette beat number 11 Wisconsin, of course, in the Battle of Wisconsin, 88-74. And did you see any? I know it was late at night. But did you watch any of this Kentucky-Gonzaga game?
I did.
90-89 in overtime. It was a hell of an early season college basketball game.
It was great. It went to overtime. Kentucky got it done. It was in Seattle. It was a fantastic game. And Gonzaga had a big lead early. But Kentucky came back and fought their way into the game, and then they stole it. It was a huge game, I think, for Kentucky and Pope to win that game out there in Seattle, to go that far and to beat that team. Gonzaga, well-coached by Few. That's a huge win for the Wildcats, I'll tell you that much. They did not look good early in that game, Mike.
They did not look good early in that game, that's for sure, on that one. All right, and then Sunday, Kansas lost again. So Kansas lost to Creighton and Missouri this week. Both of them I'll be on the road, albeit, but still not the best week for Kansas basketball. UCLA upset Oregon last night. Kansas, of course, falls from number 1 today, Scotty.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I thought they'd beat Missouri in Columbia, and they couldn't even handle that. We called the Creighton win outright that they would beat Kansas in Omaha, but I didn't think they'd win in Columbia and Missouri, that they would upset Kansas. Are you kidding me? I didn't see that coming. I thought they could handle that game, but they lost both of them. That's crazy.
Tennessee is the new number 1 today. 8-0 Tennessee, number 1 in college hoops. Auburn 2, Iowa State 3, Duke 4, and Kentucky 5. Kansas fell all the way to number 10 after their 2 losses this week. So from 1 to 10. And down they go. Only thing tonight
I think
of note
Auburn's
for you.
The best yes. team in the country, Mike. I really do. Yeah. I've already seen enough. So I don't think it's Tennessee. I think it's Auburn.
There are not many games tonight in college basketball, but there is one of some significance I can give you, and that is Minnesota and Indiana at Assembly Hall, -9.5 for the Hoosiers, 139.5 the total.
I'll take a stab with the Hoosiers tonight that they can win that game by 10 at Assembly Hall over the Gophers. It's tough to win on the road in the Big Ten, and it's a tough place to play, Assembly Hall. Hopefully they'll hustle tonight and rebound and shoot better. They've been atrocious.
I mean, Minnesota stinks. I mean, they've lost to North Texas. They've lost to Wichita State. They've lost away. I mean, they're just not a good. They got whacked by Michigan State last time out. You'd like to think that this is going to be a good spot for Indiana tonight. I mean, there's really not much else. Baylor's playing Abilene Christian. Penn and VCU.
Right.
Tough night. in college racks. Some good
Indiana's
games tomorrow.
Not good either, Mike. They aren't. I told you, they don't shoot well. They don't hustle. They don't rebound. I have seen nothing out of this team yet in really any game. So they better show up tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves leftovers.
Everybody does love leftovers, and we have a few for you today. Why don't we start with the Hero World Challenge, where, unfortunately, sometimes the cream just rises to the top. Scottie Scheffler, who was a ridiculous plus 200 before the event, ended up steaming past everyone, including Justin Thomas, who we had at 12-1 on Saturday and Sunday to basically blow away the field down at the Bahamas. Like, this guy needs more trophies. Like, this guy needed another trophy this year, Scottie Scheffler. He even changed his, like, putting handle. He was using the Tiger grip, like, screwing around, and he still won the tournament. Like, it's just sick with this guy with the golf. The boxing from the weekend, we told you about a few of those fights on Friday. That Navarrete destroyed that dude Valdez on Friday night. I mean, he beat his ass. It was a sixth-round knockout. The other kid, Ramirez, quit against Rafael Espinoza. He quits, guy. Threw the towel in. Throws the towel and finished off. And in that British fight, Bentley beat Pauls by decision over there for the middleweight. So he had some good fights.
Paul, that sucks. He lost.
Yes, he did lose. A few college football notes that just came across the desk as well in time for leftovers. Purdue hires UNLV coach Barry Odom, who, of course, did a really nice job. There, Odom did a real good job at UNLV. They didn't play well Friday night against Boise, but he now moves to the Big Ten, as he will be Purdue, and they can't do any worse because they were pathetic the last couple of years with that Walters kid.
That's a good gig for him. He'll make a lot of money, and he's got his work cut out for him. They're awful.
But you know what? He's a good recruiter. So he's going to be all right. He's a good recruiter. And speaking of recruiting, Tyler Van Dyke, who was with Wisconsin this year, got hurt again, as he always does. He's going back into the portal. So from Miami to Wisconsin to somewhere else, he's going to be another one of these quarterbacks who plays at five different schools by the time he's done.
And how many years is he playing? I mean, this guy's playing forever, too. He's like, he'll be 30 when he graduates.
He's got a lot of he's got probably a lot of years of eligibility left. Not as many as Alan Bowman or Cam Rising, but he does have a lot of years of eligibility left to go.
All right, Ferrella finished. Diddy lawsuit accuser revealed as Anna Kane. That's the ex-wife of Evander Kane. And she says allegedly that, like, when she was 17, he raped her. I mean, this is just a crazy story. I mean, I never saw that coming. Evander Kane's ex-wife. Florida suspect arrested after allegedly planning to bomb the New York Stock Exchange. Heavens to Betsy. American Airlines travelers duct tape an unruly passenger who charged a flight attendant and then tried to open the plane door midair. Another lunatic on a plane. Michigan officials urge out-of-shape hunters to see a doctor after three of them dropped dead of heart attacks in 48 hours. Deer hunting. Imagine that. 16-year-old St. Louis high school hockey star dies days after being struck by a stray bullet driving home from the game with his dad. A New York City woman who allegedly screamed, "You're all gonna die today," charged with killing her ex-beau and female pal by lighting their garage on fire. Fired cemetery employee steals a truck and then plows through 170 headstones in a wild graveyard rampage. My man drove around the cemetery, knocking down plots. Unhinged husband to be sentenced for a five-hour attack on his wife, where he hanged her dog from the staircase while the kids were home. The man of the year right there. What a fella. Teen charged with murdering four people in an ex's home, then torching it to hide the crime. Setting a fire, your boy with a little arson on top of everything else. A California man tried to fly from LAX with 71 pounds of meth, caked clothes, meth inside of caked clothes. Imagine that. And it included cow pajamas and a onesie. My man had it all going with the meth inside the clothes. A 60-year-old Cali art teacher dies of rabies after getting bitten by a bat in the classroom. Out of humanity. The world's oldest man passes away at 112. Carver, how do you think you'll live to be 112?
Chance whatsoever. No chance.
GTD is next. No shot. Check out my app, search for help. I'll see you tomorrow, 3 to 7. We're on.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.